From Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College, this is...
This is...
This is...
This is War News Radio.
I'm Stuart Russell.
And I'm Eliana Biscard Church.
This week on War News Radio, The Longest War, we investigate President Obama's announcement for his Afghanistan withdrawal plan.
This is the beginning, but not the end, of our effort to wind down this war. We'll have to do the hard work of keeping the gains that we've made while we draw down our forces and transition responsibility for security to the Afghan government.
We first look into a brief history of the United States' involvement in Afghanistan.
Then we speak to experts and politicians, including Afghanistan's ambassador to the United States, Afghanistan's former interior minister, and policy analysts from Washington, D.C. and Kabul about the implications for the president's decision.
Finally, we analyze the media's varying responses to the president's decision.
But first, a roundup of this week's news.
The New York Times reported that the cell phone of a trusted courier was recovered in the raid at Osama bin Laden's compound last month. The phone was found to contain contacts of a militant group that has connections to the Pakistani intelligence agency. The information implicated the militant group Harkat al-Mujahideen in aiding bin Laden. U.S. officials have determined that members from both this militant group and the Pakistani intelligence agency had been in contact, but Pakistani intelligence officers stated that their discussions had not concerned Osama bin Laden. The report indicated that U.S. intelligence officials believe that the discovery could explain how bin Laden was able to hide in a town with such a large Pakistani military population.
Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has stated that he wants to decrease the size of his government and fire all officials who are not doing their jobs. In February, following pressure from protests sweeping the country, al-Maliki set a 100-day timetable during which Iraqi ministers had to either improve and decrease corruption or face termination. While the deadline came and passed at the beginning of June with no noticeable improvements, al-Maliki is now stressing the importance of firing all weak officials and cutting unnecessary positions. He did not say specifically how many positions he wanted to eliminate, but called upon political blocs for support.
At least 40 people were killed when four bombs were detonated on the same day this week in Baghdad. Dr. Stephen Everhart, an American citizen working in Iraq as a civilian aid specialist, was one of the 40 killed. Officials at Yarmouk Hospital in Baghdad have also indicated that at least 80 people were injured in the explosions. The attacks are some of the most violent that the city has experienced in recent months, highlighting the fragile state of the country as American troops prepare to withdraw in the near future.
The Libyan government has stated that at least 19 civilians were killed in a NATO airstrike on the compound of an associate of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Libyan news sources have also reported that 8 of the victims were children. NATO has stated that the casualties were due to a weapons systems failure. Gaddafi supporters gathered in Tripoli to protest the deaths, calling NATO forces murderers. Gaddafi addressed his supporters, declaring that they were not backing down and that the NATO mission in Libya would come back to haunt the West.
This is War News Radio. The Afghanistan conflict has been America's longest war. Sarah Dwider gives us an overview of U.S. involvement.
Post 9/11 American involvement in Afghanistan first began on October 7, 2001. 1,330 American troops were deployed under Operation Enduring Freedom.
The battle is now joined on many fronts. We will not waver. We will not tire. We will not falter. And we will not fail.
By December 2001, the Taliban government was removed, and an interim government headed by Hamid Karzai was established.
I did not bring any security with myself, because I wanted to bring a sense to this country that whoever is in Kabul as an Afghan, as a fellow countryman, is my security.
However, Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders, including Osama bin Laden, continued to hide and organize throughout the country. In March 2002, the United States launched Operation Anaconda, the first major ground mission.
Let's get some support up here!
RPGs!
RPGs!
By May 2003, U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld declared that major combat was over in Afghanistan. NATO would take charge of international security forces. In January of 2004, Afghan delegates gathered to draft a new constitution officially creating a democratic government. By October, elections were held and Hamid Karzai officially became president of Afghanistan. In the summer of 2006, Afghanistan saw an increase in the number of insurgent attacks. In February of 2009, President Obama announced an increased U.S. commitment to the conflict in Afghanistan, with a 17,000 troop surge to add to the 37,000 troops already stationed in Afghanistan. In March 2009, Obama announced a change in war strategy to focus on Pakistan as well as Afghanistan. By July, U.S. troops were engaged in a major offensive, and 4,000 more U.S. Marines were deployed. In December of 2009, this number again increased as President Obama ordered a surge.
And as Commander-in-Chief, I have determined that it is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan.
In November 2010, NATO members declared that responsibility for security would be passed to Afghan forces starting in July 2011. Just 2 months before this deadline, a U.S. Navy SEAL team targeted and killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. In his latest statement, the president declared his intention to adhere to this deadline and begin the process of withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, starting with 10,000 American troops by the end of this year and 23,000 by next summer. For War News Radio, I'm Sarah Dwider.
This is War News Radio. President Obama's announcement of his withdrawal plan for Afghanistan was, of course, met with varying responses, from those of U.S. politicians, to those of the Afghan government and people, to those of the Taliban. War News Radio spoke with experts and politicians about the decision.
Stephanie Sanek is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and was recently in Afghanistan assessing the sustainability of the Afghan economy post-withdrawal. Before delving into this topic, she first spoke broadly about the president's announcement.
Back in December of 2009, President Obama established his strategy, and he said troops would start to withdraw in July of this year. He's really fulfilling that promise. Unfortunately, I don't think he's pleasing anybody on Capitol Hill right now. You've got people who want to accelerate the withdrawal, so last night's speech was unacceptable to them. And then the other part of the Hill talks about maintaining the course and not allowing troops to withdraw because the trends that we've had are what they call fragile and reversible. And so last night's speech didn't please anyone, as far as I can tell.
Not all politicians and Americans on either side may like the president's exact plans, but Sanek feels far more Afghans will not like the effects of his decision in years to come. Sanek's research in Afghanistan has shown that there will likely be devastating effects for Afghanistan as the U.S. pulls out. She says this is an issue garnering little publicity.
Not enough attention has been paid to the economic situation because that's really what's going to keep Afghanistan stable over the long haul. They don't have manufacturing. They don't have really anything except the illicit drug trade to fall back on.
Though she understands the sentiment from Americans to bring the focus back home, Sanek believes that the U.S. should begin a new type of effort in Afghanistan.
I think what the U.S. government and coalition forces should be doing is focusing on developing sustainable sectors within the Afghan economy and use this time between now and the withdrawal in 2014 to really develop the demand and the infrastructure that should be put in place.
Sanek thinks we will see a recession in Afghanistan when U.S. forces pull out.
The contracts aren't going to be there, the construction contracts, the services contracts that have sort of fed the Afghan economy. What we need to do is mitigate the extent of that recession. The result of a recession in Afghanistan will really be to hurt the small business owners, the medium-sized business owners, and create an opportunity for whether it's the Taliban or another force that is unwelcoming to the West.
She also thinks that the Afghan security forces are not thoroughly prepared.
I have a hard time foreseeing in the immediate future Afghan national security forces really being able to take on security responsibilities in the south and the east. Those were Taliban strongholds. They were Al-Qaeda strongholds. and they continue to be really, really tenuous security environments down there.
Sanik recommends that the U.S. tackle both the issues of security and the economy in order for Afghanistan to become an independent and sustainable country.
I think we need to focus still on training and advising the Afghan National Security Forces, but also training and advising the entrepreneurs that are in Afghanistan, because really the sustainability of that economy is what's going to prevent it from becoming what it was earlier this decade in terms of ungoverned spaces and really kind of a Wild West mentality.
Lastly, Sanik added that the political climate is also not ready to support the idea of a sovereign Afghanistan.
When we look at the sustainability of Afghanistan, obviously we're talking about security and economics, but we're also talking about the political future. And right now I don't see a cadre of mid-level or senior politicians rising to the fore to challenge Karzai, and I think he's getting complacent. I think the culture of corruption, nepotism, extortion is endemic throughout all of the ministries. And so I think the political situation needs a little bit of an infusion of new actors, of new politicians who can kind of counterbalance the cult of personality under Hamid Karzai. When I talked to the Afghan vendors over the last week or so, when I asked them, do you want to pursue contracts with the Afghan government, all of them said no, because they just can't afford to.
In order to improve the political situation, Sanik believes the U.S. State Department will have much to do as it continues its programs for governance in the provincial areas of Afghanistan, working to encourage civilians to engage in politics, and pushing tribal leaders to work for all of Afghanistan and not just their familial goals. Coalition forces and the United Nations have begun similar programs, but she believes it necessary that the State Department step up as the forces draw down.
David Courtwright is the Director of Policy Studies at Notre Dame's Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies and is the author of Ending Obama's War. Dr. Courtwright's initial reaction to President Obama's speech was that the troop withdrawals would not change the war very much. He believes that by reducing the forces by only 33,000 by the end of 2012, the president has prolonged an unnecessarily long conflict.
So it's not really an end to the war. It's a shifting around on some of the tactics, reducing some of the troops. But the president has made no indication of a change in direction. And in fact, they seem to be fully committed to an ongoing war strategy.
According to Courtwright, President Obama's war strategy is not the proper course of action. He claims that there are too many contentious issues at stake which cannot be resolved through the use of force. Instead, Courtwright favors a political solution.
What I think is needed is to go in a fundamentally different direction, which is to organize for ending the war as quickly as possible. Which means negotiating for a ceasefire and some kind of a political agreement among the Afghan factions, and then combining that with a commitment to withdraw almost all of the forces very quickly, and then to get out altogether as a political arrangement is developed among the Afghan factions.
Currently, the New York Times reports that the United States is making preliminary contact with Taliban members. Courtwright argues that these talks need to be accelerated and should be given priority. While he accepts that some Americans may be uncomfortable with the idea of negotiating with them, Courtwright thinks ignoring the Taliban would be a mistake.
Whether we like them or not, they are a presence in Afghanistan and Pakistan. They are representing a position that has some support in the community.
Courtwright says denying the Taliban any role in talks would only lead to continued conflict.
Far better is to give them a seat at the table, have them participate in political process. And I think that ultimately many American political leaders would be willing to accept that. I think there's a sense by the administration, a recognition that ultimately they will have to allow for some kind of power-sharing arrangements in Afghanistan.
Without peaceful negotiations involving all the appropriate parties, Courtwright believes the war will be unsolvable. In his opinion, President Obama's troop withdrawals are irrelevant until progress is made in these dialogues.
Meanwhile, Afghanistan's ambassador to the U.S., Akhlil Hakimi, who gave War News Radio brief statements, believes the plan has been sufficiently calculated.
That was the plan, and also that was the commitment that the Afghan government had with its international partners, that based on that assessment, the number and speed will be determined. And it should be gradual, and it should be based on the reality on the ground, And I'm sure the military experts and those people that they engage with this assessment, they have made their calculation.
Overall, Hakimi emphasized that President Karzai has welcomed the plan, expecting this withdrawal timeline. He believes the National Security Forces are ready, though he also pointed out that the plan ends 3 years from now.
That was the plan that we have agreed with our international partners. That is an indication that our partners, they trust our national security forces and they have confidence on our national security forces that they can take the lead, but of course slowly and gradually. So for us, I think we are according to the plan that we have all agreed upon.
Haroon Mir, the founder of the Afghanistan Center for Research and Policy Studies, is an analyst based in Kabul. Unlike Dr. David Courtwright, Mir is opposed to President Obama's withdrawal plan. Mir says that, although the announcement was expected, he was still surprised by the number of troops leaving the country this year. He believes that withdrawing even 10,000 troops by the end of this year will have a negative impact on the ground.
This decision will certainly boost the morale of the Taliban because now they are convinced that not only they are not defeated, but they have become almost invincible.
Despite this, Mir claims that Afghans are looking farther into the future. He fears that Afghanistan will not be ready by 2014, the year that President Obama named for the troop withdrawal to be complete. He thinks that it is important for American forces to stay past this date in order to give more time for Afghan security forces to grow.
And we could not have a professional national army, national police, by 2014, because certainly we could increase the number of security forces in terms of their capacity, the quality, and also equipment. It will be, in my opinion, a long time before they became self-sufficient and also they could defend themselves without the support of the international security forces and particularly the United States forces.
In addition, Mir thinks that the United States must address the problems posed by Pakistan. He believes that elements of the Pakistani military are colluding with and supporting the Taliban.
If Pakistanis are sincere in the war on terror, if they honestly collaborate with the Afghan government and with the U.S. administration, if they force the Taliban to seek a political settlement and cut off all the supplies and force the leadership to return back to Afghanistan, then we might have a chance.
Because he doubts the reliability of Pakistan, Mir says that Afghanistan needs a long-term commitment from the United States in order to prevent radicals from seizing control once again.
This is a nightmare for Afghanistan. We are all very concerned about it. If we have a commitment from the United States and other NATO allies in Afghanistan that the commitment will remain, then it will certainly create a lot of positive impact and it will boost the morale of not only the Afghan security forces, but also of the orderly Afghans.
In the absence of some sort of long-term commitment, Mir says that Afghans will perceive the American forces to be losers and the Taliban forces to be winners. This could swell the ranks of the Taliban, undoing the hard work of the American military.
Ali Ahmed Jalali was Afghanistan's interior minister from 2003 to 2005 and is now distinguished professor at the Near East South Asia Center for Strategic Studies of the United States National Defense University. He shared his insight on the potential effects of the withdrawal announcement for Afghanistan.
This year, the 10,000 troops that would be withdrawn is not going to affect much in Afghanistan. However, the withdrawal of 23,000 more troops by next September, a lot of these forces will not be able to participate in military operations in the spring and summer of 2012, which is fighting season in Afghanistan. And that creates a concern in Afghanistan that it might reverse some military gains made in the south during the past 10 months.
Jalali spoke about the various responses in Afghanistan, the government, the civilians, and the Taliban, and seemed to echo the latter two's worries. He said President Karzai welcomed the announcement by President Obama. However, that response does not reveal the whole picture. The civilian and provincial reactions have not been as convinced by the plan.
In the south and in the other provinces of Afghanistan, there are concerns among people that the speedy withdrawal of U.S. forces could create a vacuum that the Afghan national security forces are not ready to fill, that this can actually fuel more instabilities.
Jalali understands these worries and is concerned with how the Taliban might interpret the president's announcement.
The Taliban, if they announce that still they want the full withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan, and they said that until that happens, they will continue to increase their military offensive day by day. So therefore, when they realize that the U.S. forces will be withdrawn in a fast pace, I think this can give them some incentive to continue.
Jalali said that Afghanistan had expected that U.S. troops would withdraw by the end of 2012, in which case they would be available for both the spring and summer fighting seasons. However, with the new plan, the forces will not be present for the summer, and he worries of the potential gain for the Taliban and the consequences for Afghanistan. He is not sure whether the Afghan security forces will be ready by then.
There's no doubt that in the past 2 years, serious attention was paid to building Afghanistan's indigenous security capacity. And there's a lot of progress and improvement. However, they need more equipment, arms and firepower, air cover, to be able to respond to the challenges they face.
Ultimately, Jalali does not see the drawdown as the end for Afghanistan. He prescribes a different route.
Generally speaking, there is no military solution to the Afghan conflict. And eventually, the conflict should be settled through political process, negotiation with the insurgents. However, in order to get a deal that is legitimate, that is inclusive, that's sustainable, the environment should be created in such a way to convince the insurgents that they cannot win militarily. For this reason, I think the continuation of the counterinsurgency strategy with sufficient resources is needed for at least toward the end of 2012 with sufficient forces.
This is War News Radio. After 10 years, over 1,600 U.S. deaths, and over $1 trillion, it would seem that we would, as President Obama said, take comfort in knowing that the tide of war is receding. But did the press agree? Clara Izupitis takes a look at the media's response.
In his latest speech given earlier this week, President Barack Obama announced his plan for the reduction of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Speaking from the White House, President Obama said,
"Thanks to our extraordinary men and women in uniform, our civilian personnel, and our many coalition partners, we are meeting our goals. As a result, starting next month, we will be able to remove 10,000 of our troops from Afghanistan by the end of this year, and we will bring home a total of 33,000 troops by next summer, fully recovering the surge I announced at West Point. After this initial reduction, our troops will continue coming home at a steady pace as Afghan security forces move into the lead. Our mission will change from combat to support. By 2014, this process of transition will be complete, and the Afghan people will be responsible for their own security."
The plan has been met with approval from Afghan President Hamid Karzai, who says that Afghanistan is stable and ready to take control of its own future. According to the New York Times, President Obama's plan has been welcomed by others from the international community as well, with France, Britain, and Germany announcing plans for their own withdrawals. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen noted that it has been the success of the mission in Afghanistan that has allowed for the withdrawal. However, the responses have been somewhat more critical back at home. Many have voiced concerns that Afghanistan may not be stable enough to deal with the drawdown, and some are worried that the withdrawal will reverse all we have achieved so far. Perhaps one of the greatest criticisms from Republicans has been that President Obama is not listening to the wishes of his top military commanders, who have said that there should be a more gradual withdrawal. In an interview with PBS NewsHour, William Crystal, the editor at the Weekly Standard, said,
"Every military commander says, give us the 2012 fighting season. We need to consolidate the gains in the South. We need to go to the East and deal with the great threats there, which we've barely begun to deal with. If you want to draw down, fine, but give us the..." Now he's drawing down in the middle of the fighting season. There are going to be troops rotating out or divisions not coming in to fill in June, July, August of 2012. There is no military rationale for this.
There have been echoes from other conservative pundits questioning the reasoning behind the withdrawal. Many have implied that there is the possibility that there is a connection between President Obama's announcement and the 2012 elections. Speaking on Fox News, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton, said,
I think it was very significantly tied to this summer, right before the primary season in the presidential election. And I think the way he's handled the timing of the withdrawal of the extra surge forces has a lot to do with politics, too. He needs to appease the left wing of his own party, which he's done, but he needs to avoid a debacle on the battlefield before November of 2012. So he's pushed the withdrawal of all 33,000 off until very close to that point.
But there have also been criticisms that the withdrawal is not enough. These concerns have come even from fellow Democrats, including House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. The Associated Press posted a video to their site of Pelosi's response.
Many of us would like to see this go faster than the path that was laid out. For 7 years, we had no progress. We had no plan. President Obama came in, instituted a plan. I think it's going in a positive direction. I hope that the momentum that it now has will be bring our troops home sooner. But I commend the president for announcing and reinforcing his previous message that the war in Afghanistan will be over in a finite period of time.
These views reflect the growing weariness that Americans are developing with the war in Afghanistan. In the latest survey from the Pew Research Center, 56% of Americans say that they believe that the troops should be withdrawn from Afghanistan as soon as possible. And despite nearly a decade of fighting, it seems that Americans are gravely concerned about the annual $100 billion cost of the war to the United States. In an interview with PBS NewsHour, Washington Post News columnist Ruth Markham stated,
"Not every Democrat, but a remarkable number of Democratic members are saying, hey, $10 billion a month, where's the jobs?"
These feelings were reflected in the bill that was passed at the United States Conference of Mayors held earlier this week in Baltimore, Maryland. The bill called for the swift end to U.S. involvement in the conflicts and a redirection of those funds back home. Democracy Now! Brought in Kitty Pierce, the mayor of Eugene, Oregon. She said,
"You know, this is a resolution that basically says that America's in a lot of trouble and families and are in need, and we need to be spending that money that we're now spending on wars at home to reinvest in our families and our cities and in jobs and a future for the young people growing up right now."
So while President Obama's speech may signal a beginning of the end to U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, both in terms of military involvement and cost, it seems that American concerns over Operation Enduring Freedom are long from over. For War News Radio, I'm Clara Izupitis.
That's our show for this week.
War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College.
Visit us online to listen to archive shows, learn more about the program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's at warnewsradio.org.
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook to keep up with War News Radio between shows. Look for the links on our site.
Our behind-the-scenes crew this week includes Sarah Dwider, Dina Sherhan, and Clara Izupitis. Our producer is Jen McMillan. I'm Stuart Russell.
And I'm Eliana Biscard-Church. Until next time, thanks for listening.